Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. I know there's vacations. I know there's crazy stuff going on. But you know what? You're here. And God knows that. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" If I heard the disciples say that, I think I'd really perk my ear up, and I'd want to hear what Jesus is going to say. Amen? Hey, Lord, what is the greatest in the kingdom? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and setting him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily," verily, now you listen to me now, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greater in the kingdom of God." And you kind of read into some stuff. First of all, that, you know, if you ask a little child to come, a lot of them, they'll be kind of cautious, but they'll come. They'll humble themselves, you know. You tell an older guy like that. It's like in church. You say, "Folks, should you move forward a little bit?" And they won't humble themselves. They just sit there and grit their teeth and, you know, no matter who asked them, amen. And so listen, now he says, "Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Wow! That's powerful. "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name," what? How important is Vacation Bible School? I'm going to tell you something. I think that it's the most important thing that Heritage Baptist Church does. I really do. Beside our bus program, our Sunday school program, our children, I think it's the greatest thing we do. Because what are we doing? When we have these little ones come in, what are we saying? We're receiving Jesus. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." I think that's some pretty important things that are said here. Let's pray. Father, help us now, Lord. We'd be a blessing and help and encouragement to these children around us. Who knows? Who knows the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the next Jack Hiles, the next John Rice? Who knows who we're going to talk to about Jesus? Who knows who's going to get saved and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and do a great work for you? So, Lord God, help us to do what you tell us to do, to suffer these little children. Help us, Lord Jesus, be very careful that we do not harm them. Help us that we are very careful that we do not disappoint them and that we don't cause them to doubt their God. Lord, we have been given a great responsibility, Lord. Oh, God, there's folks tonight, they'll just keep on, pass on, won't do nothing for Vacation Bible School. They don't think it's important. But Lord God, we know according to this Word of God, it is the most important thing we'll ever do in our life besides getting saved ourselves. So Lord God, help us to understand the importance of our faithfulness in these just few days that we have, this organized time we have to get together with these little ones. Lord, I pray right now, you'd speak to the ones that are to be here. Speak to these little ones, Lord, that they would, and their parents, that they'd be willing to send them. Lord, bless these who will be working our bus routes and inviting people, kids come in. Thank you for our own children. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most exciting times at Heritage Baptist Church is our unique Vacation Bible School. The past 35 years of history, actually it's 37 of our church, I've been here 35, we've seen more people saved during Vacation Bible School than any other single event that we put on at Heritage Baptist Church. Would you think that's important? Scott Hobbs has a wife that saved because of Vacation Bible School. daughters saved. And how many of your children got saved at Vacation Bible School? Any of them? Yeah? All right. Praise the Lord. Is it important? Yeah. Very important. My wife was saved at Vacation Bible School. I'm eternally indebted for those who work with children. Therefore, we dedicate ourselves to a very fast-paced week so that the Holy Spirit can work through us and fulfill the great commission of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the Lord of our church. The Heritage Baptist Church, we have found a plan that we think that works very well. It's called the Romans Road. Dr. Jack Hiles developed it. And it was very effective, simple presentation of the gospel of the book of the Romans. The other day, during an evangelistic meeting, one of my little buddies came to me and said, "Preacher, my brother wants to get saved." And old Colt got saved. And as you witnessed that, it's very simple. I told him, I said, if you get lost, what would you do? I said, you'd cry and holler for your mama or holler for your daddy. And I said, that's exactly what salvation is. Dear God, save me. And it's a very simple plan. We're not pushing them. We're not shoving them. We're inviting them to accept Christ, their personal Savior. We're giving them the tools to do it. It is a proven fact that age in which the majority of Christians accept Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, during childhood. How many of you got saved from a little child up to 10 years old? Would you raise your hand? Wow, look at that. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's over 3/4 of you. So I guess it's important for we to do the job while we can. You know, sometimes children get a little older, then all of a sudden what happens? They become hardened and want nothing to do with it. And so we need to be really working at it. Therefore, we dedicate ourselves to this one great week of leading people to Jesus Christ, His children. Jesus said, and He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted as and become little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child," this is Mark chapter 10, verse 15, "he shall not enter into therein. Luke chapter 18, verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." The Bible commands us that when we work with children, we're not only to receive a great opportunity, but we also shoulder a great responsibility. Listen to me, we shoulder a great responsibility when we teach these little ones. Number one, we who teach must teach them truth. We who teach must teach them truth. And secondly, we who lead must lead them to God. Notice the Christ commandments in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he'd be drowned in the depth of the sea." I think God really takes this very seriously. I take Vacation Bible School very seriously. Nothing gets in my way of it. I can't. I don't want it to. Mark chapter 9, verse 42, "And whatsoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his head, a neck, and he would cast into the sea." That's Mark. And then Luke 17, 2, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than he that should offend one of these little ones." I think that we ought to be very careful how we treat these little ones. Someone said to me, he said, "Preacher, you're always messing these little kids. You're always playing with them and fussing with them and ruffling their hair and pulling their ear and just after them." I said, "Yeah, this is the best thing ever happened to me, kids. I love kids." I was at Brother Rudy's there, and his granddaughter, her name is Mandy. Mandy, she's just turned 15, having just a terrible time. Her mama left her dad And so her dad's raised her. Her and Sam and Tristan. You remember Tristan that came to our church? And she's just having a terrible time. And every time I see her, she was sitting off in a corner someplace, just kind of what I'd call moping. But you know what? She was grieving. And I talked to her every time. I said, "Man, I love you." I said, your papa just loves you to death." I tell her that every time. It just seemed like I couldn't get closer. You know, that really bugs me if I can't get close to a teenage kid. That frogs me. Because I used everything I could on this girl. And the last, I preached Sunday morning, must have touched her heart. Sunday night after service, they wanted to take a picture of me and Brother Rudy. I said, "I want to get a picture with this pretty one here." And she cracked a smile for the first time that I'd seen her this time. Because years ago, I've been there and I've been kind of a little buddy to her, you know. "Hey, preacher," you know. But this time, and I saw her and I says, "I said, Mandy, I love you so much. I've been praying for you." And she broke. She come up and hugged me. And she said, "Thank you. Thank you, Brother Shear, for coming to be my papa." You better be careful about these little ones you talk to and how you treat them. I really believe that. I know. That's what the Bible says. You got to be careful with them. And we need to be very careful with our own children, let alone anybody else's. To think that someone would allow their child that they almost went to death for and gave birth to that child. They've been working them, feeding them, clothing them, and then allow them to get on a bus that they don't even know the people. They don't even know the church, but they'll let them get on the bus. Isn't that something? That's why they take faith that we're called a church and we will protect the children from immorality and for molestation. We'll protect them from any kind of harm. They expect that. That's why when a preacher gets in trouble or a church gets in trouble and they've done some bad things, that's why they throw the whole book. Remember Jimmy, what was his name? Not Swagger, the other guy. You remember Jimmy Baker? And everybody was so upset because they threw the book at him. Well, they should have threw the book at him because he carries this aura about him as being trusted. And he stole money from old people and stole money and was immoral and all kinds of stuff. Of course, you are expected to do right. And so like when we invite people to come to this church, we want to be very careful that our deportment and our attitude towards these children, that's why we never go in a room beside ourselves with just one. We always have people around us. That's why we don't hug on the girls. Unfortunately, we got some crazy girls that come hugging on the preacher. They can hug, but I'm not encouraging it. We want to be very careful. We don't pinch them and hurt them. And if they are disruptive, what do we do? Take it to mama. But if their mama's not here, we take them to whoever's running the bus and say, "Hey, we've got to take them home." You understand that? We're going to take them home. You say, "But it's my kid." Take him to my office. Shut the door, amen. So since we know that is very important for us, we want to lead these kids to the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully. This is not a haphazard thing. This is not dragging them through and saying the motions. This is very important because we know that there's some dangers dealing with children. And one of the dangers is their emotions. You can play on their emotions. You can work them up. Get them to do something. No, we don't want to do that. We want them to face the fact that they're sinners, and because they sin, they will get a terrible price of hell. And they need a Savior. Someone will come and save them. So we use the Romans Road. Number one, if you got your Bible with you, or you got a piece of paper with you, you ought to write these verses down. Number one, show them that he is a sinner, or she, from the center. Now, this can be very exciting, especially when you're dealing with kindergartners and first graders, second graders. I've had them tell me, I've never sinned. Why did they say that? Anybody know? What's that? Bingo, what'd you say? They don't want to get in trouble. It's kind of like three guys came out of the Sunday school room. And they were real quiet. What are you guys up to? Nothing. Okay, what's going on? Well, that teacher is trying to pin on us the walls falling down Jericho, and we had nothing to do with it. That's, their brain is thinking like that. So they don't want to admit they're sinners, you know. Or somebody might tell their parents, you know, that they're a liar or they, whatever. And so you've got to do some work. You've got to be thinking. You've got to be way ahead of things and say, well, have you ever sinned? Oh, no. Have you ever told a lie? Oh, no. You just did. Why is that? Did you ever make your sister mad? Did you ever make your brother mad? Shake your little pea-picking head. Did you ever yell at your brother? You ever yell at your sister? You had to, right? Yeah. I don't got a sister. See, there's the one I'm talking about right there. I don't have a sister. Not me, man. Not me. Okay, Zach. You're cool. You're cool. So that's what you're going to run into. And by the way, it's fun. You ought to write down some of the... I wish I would have written down a lot of the things that little kids have said to me when I'm talking about Jesus. You know, they just... There's some pretty amusing things. So, number one, you got to show them he's a sinner. You got to some way, somehow, find out something that he will admit to that he's a sinner. And not only that, you can tell him, listen, whether you sinned or not, because you were born, sin is already in you. Now that's going to really confuse them. Be careful with that. But we're all sinners. Why is that baby with a full tummy and dry, laying in the bassinet, crying? I'll tell you why. He's lying to you. He wants you to hold him. That's the way it is. He didn't want to be there. And you want him to be there. Because why? You're tired. Anyway, okay. So number one, show him he's a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You ought to memorize this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So right there you say, now son, right here Jesus says nobody's good. Nobody's righteous. Then you say, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Just keep all. All of us are sinners. You know what? I'm a sinner. And they said, not you, Peter. You're not sinner. I said, yes, I am a sinner. When? I said, never mind. Let's go to the next point. Amen. All right. It is very important that he acknowledges his lost condition. Ask him if he realizes that he is a lost sinner. I know it's very, this is, but kids understand. I was at that funeral. And Rudy's granddaughter said the most amazing thing. And we said, what are you doing? She said, I'm having a funeral for my dolly. And she did the preaching. Ain't that something? They understand what's going on. They understand that grandma's dead. They understand that grandma is going to heaven. They understand about that. They understand. Don't kid yourself. These kids understand. Grandkids come over to my house. He said, Papa, I need to hook up your TV to get something. I said, you just go right ahead, buddy. In 3 minutes, he had that thing working. Drives me crazy. So, number one, show them that he is a sinner. Say it. He is a sinner. All right. Number two, show him the price of sin. You have to pay the price. You have to pay the price. Someone has to pay the price. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus was beat up so bad. That's why Jesus had his life was ended on this earth, because he had to pay the price for you and me. And he did that so that he could be our Savior. So there has to be a price paid. And of course, we use Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Point out that the terrible circumstance, the terrible consequences of being a sinner. You have to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay for your sins. You pay for it? Yeah, you can pay for it. You can go to hell, burn there forever and ever and ever. But Jesus already paid for it. Why in the world would I want to do that if Jesus already did it for me? Jesus already paid for it. And you can use the illustration. You know, you want to go to McDonald's. You want to get something to eat, and you can't pay for it. But Daddy steps up, and he pays for your food so you eat. Isn't that great? Well, Daddy had to work really hard to get some of that money to go to McDonald's. He should be aware of future punishment. There's future punishment coming. Number three. So number one is, so that he is a sinner. Number two, there is a price to pay. And number three, show him that Jesus paid his debt on the cross. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, 8. Explain how that Christ died on the cross for him. Tell him that God's great love for sinners is giving his only begotten Son. The Son died for them. Emphasize that when Christ died on the cross, he took care of all the punishment that's due to sin. That's an incredible thing. I mean, that's soteriology in the Bible, in theology, talks about how that it tells all the different things about salvation, how Jesus Christ paid for all this, and how it is saved. It's kind of, you know, we have to put it in a nutshell. We have to be very careful that we don't over flood them for information, but we also got to know that, number one, that they are a sinner. And number two, there's a price for their sins. And number three, that Jesus paid that price. You don't have to pay it. And number four, show him that he must receive Christ as personal Savior. This is where Brother Gibbons used to have the quarter. And he'd pull that quarter out and he said, I want to give you that. Kid, of course, what are they going to do? Snap that baby up, amen? And probably ask for some more, right? And he'd say, then he'd bring that around. He says, you know what? You're a sinner. And because you sin, you have to pay a price. And there's a debt for that sin. Someone had to get that quarter. And then he said, then you took that quarter, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I gave it to you. Yeah. So whose is it? Well, it's mine. And that's salvation. So simple. Just so simple. Here's the quarter. It's free. You didn't have to pay for it. Jesus Christ had to pay for it. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give it to you because it's His. And if you take it, you've accepted Him. So the Bible, we want to show them the receiving Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I talked to. Talk to Cole. I says, you need to call on the Lord. You need to say, I need some help. I need you to save me. And he did. Sweet. Sweet, precious thing. He understood this stuff. Amen. He said, well, maybe he doesn't. Well, I'd rather err and cautious. If that child wants to get saved, I'm going to lead him to the Lord. He said, well, what happens if he gets... How many of you asked Jesus in your heart and then later you kind of wasn't sure about it, then you did it again? How many did that? Would you look around at this place? Yeah, I did. I was 8 years old, thought I accepted Christ as my first Savior. I probably did. But I wasn't sure. And I said, I'm going to do this to be sure. And at the age of 14, I had pretty much known what was going on in life by then. Some of them take a lot longer than that. But anyway, but when I was 14, I understood the penalty for sin. I understood that I had to pay that penalty. I understood that He paid the penalty, and all I had to do was accept it. So that's, don't be afraid when a child says that they want to get saved. Now, if it comes to baptism, I used to let my boy did bother me to death about it. And I said, yeah, we'll do that. And I just go on. Daddy, I want to get baptized. Okay, go on, you know. And all of a sudden they said, Dad, the Bible says I need to be baptized. I said, let's take care of it. Not salvation. I've never, behold, today is the day of salvation. I've never withheld salvation to anybody. We've had some folks in our church who have a really difficult time I'll tell you what, last week I think was the greatest week for our church in that set on your salvation. But some people are afraid of that. Don't be afraid of it. Now remember that Jesus does not lie. And when you have proclaimed and asked Jesus to forgive your sins and asked Him to come out, you know you're a sinner and you know you had to pay a price. You know Jesus Christ paid the price. And if you call upon His name, He'll save you. And you know that and you've done that. And then you turn around and say it again. Then what are you calling God Almighty? A liar. You're calling a liar. That's not good. Okay? I was 22. Baby in my arms. Dave Bone was preaching. I was a third row back. I was working with the youth for my father-in-law. And he hit me between the eyes with something that I had never heard before. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not saved. Walked out of the church. Started driving 45 miles home. And I looked over to my sweet little precious wife who had just given me a little baby boy. I said, honey, I'm not sure I'm saved. She said, go back to the preacher, honey. I turned that old 59 Chevy around and poured the coal to her. The ears went back. I think she said, slow down. I said, why? She said, if you die, I want you to know you went to heaven or not. And he said, slow down. No, I did not. I come into town, slowed her down, drove. I always drove the speed limit in town, but outside of town I didn't drive too well. But anyway, in town I always drive the speed limit. And so I pulled in, and Brother Dave Bond was there, and he was staying at my father-in-law's house. And I said, I need to talk to you. He said, I'd be more than happy. He pulled over, pajamas on. You say, how you know that? They're underneath his suit pants. About that much, pajamas. And I still remember that. I can see him come. Well, brother, what can I help you with? I said, I need to talk to you. He said, come on, let's go to the preacher's office. My father-in-law's church, the hot church is right next door. Went over there and he showed me. He says, you ever asked Jesus in your heart? I said, yeah. Tell me what. I said, I was 14 years old, Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan. I said, I was sitting in the back row, and I told him the whole thing. He said, okay. He said, do you remember that? I said, absolutely. Do you remember praying? I said, well, really not, but yeah, I do. He says, all right, let me show you something in the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life. And I said, well, okay. He said, right here. Now, go back on chapter verse 10. And it says, you don't believe it, you call him a liar. Because the truth is not in you. He said, what are you going to do with that? I said, man, I said, I'm saved. He said, how do you know? I said, because I ain't calling God a liar. I said, I've said a lot of dirty words in my life, but there's one thing. I don't use God's name in vain. Number two, I'm scared to death. The fire come down from heaven, burn me up, amen. He said, now, you die today, according to this Bible, where'd you go? He said, I go to heaven. I said, without question. So that took care of it. So, we want these children to know that they got saved. But some of them, like I was, some people say, well, you didn't get the full dose of it. You know, not sure. Maybe you didn't say the right words. Whatever. You know, and everybody's got all their little chants and everything. But did you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You believe He died on the cross? Do you believe He rose on the third day? I almost said third grade. He rose on the third day. Do you believe Jesus tells the truth and never lies? And He said, if you call upon me, I'll save you forever. And I'll write your name in the book of life. So, go over that once again with these children. All have sinned. There's a price for sin. Jesus paid the price. And we must receive the gift. Simple prayer. God, you've heard me say it a million times in 35 years I've pastored this church. God, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save my soul right here, right now. Then when they do that, have them pray and thank Jesus to save them. Why don't you just thank Jesus? In your little word, just say, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. I had a little kid pray, "Dear God, thank you for saving my wretched soul." Man, they're only 6 years old. How can be a wretched soul? But they really are, you know. They don't keep up as they could be. So anyway, so that's leading a child to Christ. But I want to give you some dangers. Emotions with no emotion toward God. Children have to be saved the same way that we adults need to be saved. By faith in Jesus Christ. And we're not here to make a show of stuff. We're here to get them saved. Because you remember what the Bible said. Don't you hurt one of these little ones. If you hurt one, it'd be better you put a millstone around your neck and cast in deep sea. That's bad. That's bad. Every child has a distinct personality. Look at these two boys. Are they different? Oh my goodness. Both of them beautiful children. Both of them great. I love being around them. But they're different. How about you, Brother Roger? You got different kids in your house? They're all different. How about you, Brother Adam? You got different kids in your house? How about you, sister? You know why they're different, because that crazy husband of yours. But anyway, Clyde, your kid's different? How about that girl? Is that girl different than your boys? Oh, my goodness. Hey, Brother Andy, were your kids different?
Definitely.
No. Thank God most of them took after their mom. But anyway, they're different. My boys are so different. One boy, he's like a lawyer. Oh, my goodness. If you tell him something, it was to the T that he'd keep it. And if you didn't say this, he would do that. And then you come back and say, "What did you do that for?" "I told you not." "No, Dad, this is what you told me to do. But if you don't want me to do that, I won't do it." I said, "I don't want you to do it." "Okay." Cut out flat, no question about it. That's where the next guy. The next guy was this. Man, that was great. And he'd kill himself to do something better. I've never seen him like it. He said, "Man, you're doing a great job." "Thanks, Dad. I'm going to try harder, too." Then the next guy, forget it. He's off the radar screen. You know, one day, he's like this one. Next day, he's like this one. Next day, I had an old guy in my church back in South Dakota said this. "You have one boy, you got a boy. You have two boys, you got a half boy. You got three boys, you ain't got no boys at all." Just the way it is. Crazy stuff. So all of our children have different, you know, they're different. Just the way they are. And we love them like that. That's the spice of life, you know. So these children are different. So you need to be very very careful about that. They have different things about them, their personalities. Some of them have better intellect. Boy, some of them, you know, they're like, "You're talking to a rock. You know, I'm trying to tell you something." You know, they're just dumber than a rock. Until they see the light, and all of a sudden, oh, we all have them. And then there's some that are emotional. You just say something, they'll cry, and they'll weep. Some of them will just curl up in a fetal position. See, you know how to treat them. That's why you want to be very careful when you're working with these children. You know, you could touch one off and just, you know, and cry, and they miss out on all the whole thing. I was at a thing. This person won a championship. Well, somebody in the family said something and ruined the whole thing of the championship. Just ruined it for the whole family, for a bunch of people, because they didn't think that they were getting enough attention. That's most of our problem anyway. It's all about me, you know. So you want to be very careful about it. You know, want to be careful how you treat these little ones. Every child has a distinct personality, intellect, emotion, will. Oh my goodness, there's some kids, buddy, they're going to do it. I do it my way. You know the one that wants to get himself dressed. You ain't going to dress them. They're going to dress themselves. That's their will. Okay, that's the way they are. Relax. Enjoy it. Amen. And then some of them have all three. They have intellect, they have emotion, they have will. Listen, the Bible talks about the heart is involved, the whole personality of man. For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in the hearts to give the light of knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There are some kids here tonight. I'll be honest with you. When I turned 16, I could have got married and made it on my own. Just the way I was. I could have done it. When I met my wife, I wish I'd have married her and just quit all that stupid stuff. But some of you guys need that stupid stuff, you know. Because you're not ready for the real thing. You're not ready for the, you know, it's the same with their children. Some of these kids that are 13 years old, they act like 20-year-olds. And there's some that are 20-year-olds that act like 13-year-olds. That's the trouble. We have problems with that, right? Amen? Yeah, you do. Come on. I'm just telling you that you are going to deal with these people. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You see them at college. There's some guys at that college could be married and just... Then you see some of the... They are just kind of flipped out, right? I mean, they just... They need their mama. They still need their little... what do they put that in their mouth? They still need their pacifier. You've seen them. Act like a bunch of idiots. Cry, whine, gripe. And then there's men that just... They're set their sails and they're heading out. There's girls, same way. You know some girls in that college. Some of them are just... And then there's some girls that are... They're just handling themselves and they go on with life. So we are going to deal with those kind of people. I want you to understand that. Be careful, because we don't want to push a kid that's maybe 12 that his way of life, his intellect is like 4 or 5. We don't want to ruin them, right? It's like a guy gets married when he's too young and all of a sudden he can't figure out why he's got problems. Can't figure out that, no, you can't spend that money because that's not your money. You got to pay it for food. You got to pay. You got to pay your house. You got to this and the insurance and gas and everything. So these children have this intellect that we want to be very careful about. Okay, so just be very careful. I ask you to be Holy Spirit driven. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The other day when little help me, Colt, I would have never proceeded. But you could just tell that little rascal had it all figured out. He had it figured out. I wouldn't have proceeded. I'm not going to ruin him. Man, he's one of my buddies. And we don't want to ruin these children. There's a series of affirmative answers to a number of leading questions after which the child is assured he knows he's a Christian. And that's called polyparroting. Do you know this? Yes. Do you know this? Yes. Do you know this? Some kids can memorize real good, but they don't got it in here. Maybe have it up here, but they don't have it in here. Be very careful. You talk to my wife. She's a polyparroter. You say, I said, how are you feeling? She says, how are you feeling? I said, you doing okay? She says, you doing okay? I'm not doing okay because I forgot to turn my phone on. And there's a bad storm coming tomorrow. And it's supposed to be up to 70 mile an hour winds. Golf ball hail. So be very careful. I'm going to try to get my car into my garage. But anyway, be very careful. You don't just keep lead them, and then make it a factory deal. Every child has a personality, has an intellect, and they are different. So you want to be very careful how you deal with them. Will you please do that? Be spirit-led. If you like, then back off. We have done something a long time in our church, and I've tried to do this. Brother Rick will remind you of this, that when we feel that if your child wants to get saved, I'm going after you. I'm going after your, after mom, or I'm going after daddy. So you can lead them to Christ. I'm going to do that. Who knows your kid better than you? Nobody in this world. So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say, hey, your child wants to ask Jesus in your heart. You want to lead him, Lord? And some families say, well, Pastor, I'd rather you did it. And I'd be more than happy to do it. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest, the thrill in life for a preacher. Okay, understand that. If you want me to do it, I'm happy to do that. That's like our kids want to get baptized. I'm more than happy to put on those things that don't fit, and they're wet, and the water comes in. Brother Rick, he's so stinking skinny, he can just slide in them other pair, brand new pair that I bought up there. But there's a pair that I have that he just don't want to come over the back very well, and they leak. So I'd be more than happy to baptize your kid. I count it for it. But Paul the Apostle said, hey, there's only a few I baptize. You know, the Church of Christ, they don't like that. They want to baptize them. That's the greatest thing and thrill. Baptize and say, hey, I'm willing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to put on the uniform. Okay. Don't take advantage of their unsuspecting nature. Beware of having them hold up their hand when everybody's looking. Give her opportunity for the children to step forward with other children's head bowed, eyes closed, to step out and say, if you like that, Jesus in your heart. Now bow your heads. No one looking around. Bow your heads. If you like that, Jesus in your heart, I want you to look up here and just come with me. Lead them out of your room. Is that nice? Yeah, it's nice. And not only that, they have to get up and go. Anybody can do this. Just get a stand up. It's a little different, all right? Where am I at? Number four, give opportunity to children to remain after the service or after your class. Get every stuff done. Trumpet blows. You're going out of your classroom. You know, I was going to give all this, and I'm using it all the time, but the trumpet's going to blow. Kids go out, but you say to me, hey, can I talk to you? I got some extra tickets. Can I talk to you? Don't worry about those tickets. Those tickets don't cost us nothing. Now, don't be like one guy that gave out the 25 tickets he gave out for one ticket. 25 on it. Says 25, that means 25 tickets. Just kind of remind you of that, all right? Here's some questions to ask them. Number one, why did you come? Why do you want to be saved? How do you think you can be saved? What can God do to save you? Why do you need to be saved? Just say some of that. Use much care with ethics properly and dealing with these children. You honor their parents, please. And if it's apparent the child is simply not ready, don't force them. Okay, you all got this? I have 2 minutes. We have school tomorrow, right? How many have school tomorrow? Raise your hand. Oh, man. Here we go. You have a schedule? Schedule? See the schedule? We'll follow it. Whose schedule is that? Whose schedule is this? My schedule. If I'm off a few minutes, don't cuss me. Just leave me alone. I know what's going on. By the way, Thursday, Lieutenant Roosevelt's coming, our sheriff. His wife just became the new principal of North, and she's a wonderful gal. She's a kick, Patera. But anyway, Bob is going to be here for me, and the Montana law enforcement, their annual meeting is this week, wouldn't you know? And I'm missing that. So, but anyway, Sheriff said, Preacher, I can't do it. Chaplain, I just can't do it. But he said, how about Bob? I said, that'd be good. So, Bob, please pray for him. His mouth sometimes gets him in trouble, but he's a good guy. He really is. I've worked with him many years. He's a good guy. He's the one that really got me in there. He is the head of the SWAT team. You want to be friends with the head of the SWAT team. Amen. Okay, so... Secondly, if I growl at you or if I don't take time to explain myself, I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
What do they teach you, Hiles Anderson? Forgive me. We're in a hurry. We got people here. It's just running like crazy. So if somebody says something, I say, well, I'm not sure, and take off, you're going like, well, that was a rude dude. Sorry. How many are going to forgive me? Thank you. I'm looking at April. Okay, all right.
First one's free.
After that, buddy, I'm coming after you. You might. Tickets, you all know about tickets? Now, you're going to have to share this with the whole people, right? All right. Prizes, you understand about prizes? Railroad spikes, how many know the railroad spikes are only for the drive-in crowd? Raise your hand. Don't come to me and say, that's not fair. Yes, it is fair. For the most part, the drive-in crowd are the kids that are paying for that $536 advertising. Their parents are paying for the jumpy houses, the bouncy houses. They're bringing in the cookies. What do you mean it's not fair? It's okay. Don't gripe about it, all right? 6 o'clock, you can go look for the spikes. And pray Pastor Kamambor has a little bit more mercy than he usually does. Teachers, you'll sit with your kids in an auditorium, blah, blah, blah. Please read that over carefully. Classes, is there any problem with these classes? You're cool with that? Okay, good. Very good. You can thank Charlene and Pastor Kamambor for doing this. My problem is, while you have these little sheets, I left my power plug for my Mac. My Mac Book Pro. I have tried ever since 2012 to put everything onto my Mac Pro. This is 2010. But I ripped the snot out of it and gutted it, and I made it because I had all this stuff done last week. Everything was perfect. Come home, no plug in for my Mac. It's dead. I mean, it's graveyard dead. And so that's why it's like this. Yes, sir. You do that? All right, mark that down, Doc. She says, I want to have this all ready for next Sunday, all right? You're cool with that, Bethany? All right, thank you. Well, how could you say anything else? She's sitting in front of you. All right, let's see. By the way, sure good to have you home from Hiles Anderson. God bless you, girl. I'm so thrilled you're back. All right. Yes? Yes, I've already got you down for a Hope Baptist person. Okay. Maybe my sister Marilyn. I'm not sure, but I'm kind of using Marilyn to take care of Marcia. Okay. Anybody else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Crystal. Speak up, honey. We're not doing a what? No, we never do a therm on Thursday night. No, never do. What we did once, it was first responders type, and it kind of didn't work. So we're going to do the Hawaiian night, and that is dedicated to Brother Gross. We're doing the, what's the next one?
Sports night,
dedicated to the Vikings. Ah! Or the Pack, and then Penguins. Hey, they're still winning. And then Wednesday night, Western night. You dress up in your cowboy and Indian outfits. Amen. Okay. Any questions? All right. I love you guys. Thank you. I missed you to death Sunday. I just.